Who will lead the 2026 Titans in receiving? Talking targets, receptions, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns. It's the debate of the century and the central question for our Tennessee Titans positional previews wide receiver as we gear up for training camp in a couple of weeks. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, today we are previewing the wide receiver position ahead of Titans training camp, with the central question being, who will lead this team in all the receiving categories? A big debate brewing in the fantasy community, in the Titans community, whether it's going to be fourth overall pick rookie Carnell Tate or highly paid free agent acquisition Wandale Robinson. But that's not all we're going to talk about. We're going to discuss how the targets and the opportunities get divided amongst the next three receivers on the roster, plus the battle for what we assume is the sixth and final receiver position for the 12 guys that are on the Titans training camp roster at the wide receiver position. How you doing today, Justin?
I'm doing well, doing well. We've got a fun preview here for the wide receivers training camp preview. Certainly one of the most exciting positions on the Titans roster, arguably the best and deepest position on the Titans roster, and maybe the best central question that we have for all these positional previews. Who will lead the Titans in receiving this year, Carnell Tate or Wandale Robinson? As you alluded, Tate, the fourth overall pick. Robinson signing a four-year, $70 million deal in free agency, just a hair over $15 million a year. I guess closer to what, $16.5 million, $17 million a year?
A hair over 17, yeah.
Yeah, big investments in both Tate and Robinson. Different investments, but both big nonetheless. I guess I've got some opinions here, but I know we're breaking it down by receptions, targets, all that. But to me, I'm just more interested in like who's going to be their number one go-to receiver. And obviously, you know, my question only has one answer to it. Whereas, you know, yards, receptions, targets, like we could maybe go in a few different directions there. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, I want to start by reminding everyone this is our fourth Titans training camp positional preview. On Monday, we did the offensive line. Tuesday, the tight ends. Yesterday, we did the running backs. Today, we're doing the wide receivers. Tomorrow, we're doing the quarterbacks. And next week, we're doing the defense. So if you're not subscribed to the channel, hit that subscribe button, like this video, and comment your thoughts below. Who leads the Titans in receiving? Who will be their number one go-to target? And if you want to break it out by receptions, targets, yards, and touchdowns, please feel free to leave four separate comments, one with each prediction. All right, Justin, I would like to start by talking about who I think is going to be the primary read on the majority of plays. Not necessarily who gets targeted the most, not who gets drawn up the most gadget, manufactured touch plays, but when Cam Ward drops back to pass on any given passing down, where are his eyes going first? And I think to me, the answer is obvious. And I think that that player is going to be Carnell Tate. I think looking at Brian Daboll's history, when he acquired Stephon Diggs in Buffalo in 2020, immediately made him the primary target and the focal point of the passing game. When they drafted Malik Nabers sixth overall in New York 2 years ago, immediately became the focal point of that passing game. Drafted Carnell Tate fourth overall this year. I think it's the same situation. And the biggest piece of evidence we have is that Wandale Robinson played for Brian Daboll the year they drafted Malik Nabers, and Malik Nabers led the team in targets. It wasn't Wandale Robinson. So while I think Wandale's going to have plenty of looks for himself that are going to come mostly through the progression of the offense and being sort of a safety valve option underneath for Cam Ward, I think when we're talking who's the first read on the majority of plays, and the majority could be like 30%, right? I mean, who's going to lead the team in primary target first read rate? I think it's got to be Carnell Tate, or something's wrong with what happened in the draft, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. That's why I said my number one central question is who's the go-to receiver? Who's the gotta-have-it guy? Who's the primary number one read? And I do think it's going to be fourth overall pick Carnell Tate. I mean, yes, you allude to the Malik Nabers and Stephon Diggs examples under Brian Daboll. I think those are great examples and probably very telling for where the direction of this offense is headed. But I also just think that Carnell Tate's probably going to be the most talented receiver in this room.
Yeah.
We know he's the most physically gifted, certainly more physically gifted than Wandell Robinson is. A great route runner, probably more explosive, a bit more dangerous down the field, I would say, as like a big play threat. And certainly the receiver they drafted to grow alongside, you know, Cam Ward as they develop him into a franchise quarterback. So I'm with you. Now, as we start getting into the individual, you know, the receptions, the targets, all that, spoiler alert, I've got some different answers probably, but I do think the primary read, the true number one receiver in this offense will be Carnell Tate.
And, you know, if, again, going back to that 2024 season in New York, which I think is notable for multiple reasons. It's not just because it's the Malik Nabers' only healthy year of his career so far with Wandell Robinson there and Brian Daboll. But Brian Daboll was fired midway through last season, right? So what happened in the second half, or really last third of the season for the Giants offense last year, is kind of has to be thrown out because different staff in charge there. But in 2024, Nabers had 170 targets. 170 targets for a rookie. Wandell Robinson, still 140 targets of his own. Jeez. So I think when we talk about the fact that Tate could be the primary guy, that's not to minimize Wandale's role. And I also think Wandell maybe proved to the league, to himself, to Daboll, that he can do more than just be a slot-only short, short area, low average depth of target option. Like, he can do more than that. He can stretch the field. He can win down the field. He can run the route tree. He can play the Z on the outside. So I think like that experience is going to inform what Daboll can do this year with these guys. But when we talk about targets, like, do you think that Malik Nabers with 170 targets, Wandell Robinson with 140 targets, do you think the Titans offense is going to look like that? Or do you think that because of the way Cam Ward plays football, wants to get the ball out of his hands quickly, maybe that leads him to getting to a check down or safety valve option quicker in his progression with what Wandell Robinson did last year and sort of just the development that he's shown since 2024 with Malik Nabers? Do you think Robinson ends up leading the team in targets, even if Tate is sort of the go-to primary read guy?
I do. I do think Wandell Robinson is going to lead the offense in targets. First of all, it's unfathomable to me that a guy could have 170 targets and another guy could have 140. Did they do anything else the entire year? Did they run one running play? Did they throw the ball to anyone else on offense that season? And I don't think that's a fair expectation for the Titans, because number one, I think Titans receiver room's a lot deeper than that Giants room was. I mean, clearly, they didn't throw the ball anywhere else, all kidding aside. So
they
had, you got to factor in Calvin Ridley, Shimmeray Dike, Gunnar Helm, Alec Iomanner. Go ahead.
Right. They had Darius Slayton as their number three guy, 71 targets, about half of what Wandell received.
Yeah. Not the bad, next, though. I mean,
the next three top target getters were a running back, a tight end, and another running back. And then we're talking Jalin Hyatt with 19 targets on the season. So
yeah, I think the Titans are deeper there than the Giants were that year. I'm not anticipating, like, 170 targets for Malik Nabers was literally historical. So I'm not willing to go to that territory, or maybe even anywhere close to that. I do think Wandell Robinson will lead this offense in targets. He's had 90 catches in back-to-back years. He just had his first 1,000-yard season, albeit, you know, in the year that Daboll was fired midway through it. The year before, he had 93 catches, and he only had like 720 receiving yards. So
693 catches for
696 yards off. A lot of that happening, a lot of those targets happening, you know, underneath the coverage, clearly as sort of that safety valve.
And the Giants in 2024 as a team, with Daniel Jones only playing 10 games before he got hurt, and then a combination of Drew Lock, Tommy DeVito, and Tim Boyle finishing out the season, still attempted 591 passes,
well,
Justin.
Must have
that would have been
right. Like, they're chasing the game all the time.
That would have been the fourth most pass attempts of any team last season. So not only are those target numbers insane, those target numbers are insane on a team that was passing the ball at an extremely high rate with no depth. I think
four
that you
quarterbacks
are
at that with four different
with,
quarterbacks
with bad ones, all four of them. And so I think we can't expect Cam Ward to throw it 590 times this year. And we can't expect the depth options to be so non-contributing that it opens the door for somebody to have 170 and somebody else to have 140 targets. So I think all those factors are definitely in play. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Wandale has like 120 targets and Tate has like 110 or 100, but yeah, to expect the two guys to combine for nearly 300 targets is just ludicrous.
Yeah, I think like 230 to 250 is probably more realistic, right? So I've got Wandale Robinson leading the team in targets, but I've got Carnell Tate leading in receiving yards personally and receiving touchdowns over Robinson. So Robinson leads in targets and catches, I should say, because I think those two will probably go hand in hand. He's so reliable and safe underneath the coverage. They should be pretty efficient when targeting him. But I do think Carnell Tate, the big playability, just like Robinson, he can have 90 catches, but only 699 yards, right? Like, he can be that type of player. I think Tate leads them in receiving yards and touchdowns.
Yeah, especially when you look at Carnell Tate's role at Ohio State. I mean, he wasn't the biggest target getter, obviously playing alongside Jeremiah Smith and a massive collection of receiver talent that he had to compete with for targets. But he did average 17.2 yards per catch last year. He was a take the top off the defense, go win down the field, intermediate to deep. And he's going to do that for the Titans. He's going to do that in the NFL. He's going to win intermediate. He's going to win deep, even without blazing fast speed. So 17 yards per catch is what he finished with in college, his last season of college. I'm not expecting it maybe to be that high, maybe the 14 to 15 yards per catch range. But Wandale Robinson was at 7.5 yards per catch in that 2024 season. That jumped up to 11 yards per catch last year, but 7.5 is probably, I think it's going to be closer. That's really low, but I think it's going to be closer to that than it will be to 11. So I can totally see a world where Wandale leads in targets and catches, but Tate leads in yards. And I agree with you that Tate leads in touchdowns because he's going to be their best red zone threat. Him and Gunnar Helm, I think, are going to be their best red zone targets. Even Elikai Amanor might be.
I mean.
So, that is our predictions for who leads this Titans receiving core in yards, receptions, targets, and touchdowns. When we get back, we're going to talk about the battle for the back end of the roster. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Welcome back, everyone. All right, continuing the receiver discussion, we talked about the top two guys, but what about the next three? How are those targets opportunities going to be divided up? Who's going to play the most snaps among Calvin Ridley, Shimmeray Dike, and Elikai Amanor? Calvin Ridley, I believe, will start the year as your number three receiver. The question is, how long can he hold on to that role? Can he stay healthy? Can he figure out the drops problem that plagued him throughout all of last year? And can he be a guy that we're writing? Maybe we've written off too soon. I mean, if we get even 2024 Calvin Ridley, who was still kind of a washed version of early career Calvin Ridley, he still had 1,000 yards with Will Levis as his quarterback. I mean, can we get that version of him? Because if so, this Titans receiving corps is going to surprise a lot of people. If we don't get that version of Ridley, I think the guys behind him are ready to step into a larger NFL role. I mean, larger than they had last year. No, but a large NFL role and really be contributors as whoever is on the field to be that number three receiver.
Yeah, I think the biggest mystery in this Titans receiver room, to be honest with you, is what do you get from Calvin Ridley? They decided to keep him as opposed to cutting him. Now, if I recall correctly, the decision to keep him only costs them about $3 million, right? I remember saying that when we reacted to the contract restructure, because there was going to be dead money by cutting him. And the way they restructured it, it's like he's costing them $3 million more per year than the dead money would have if they had just cut him instead. So it's a lower gamble than the average Titans fan realizes, because you can't just look at the cap hit and say, well, this is what they're gambling on. No, because there was a dead cap hit involved before the restructure. So it only cost them about $3 million to keep him. Listen, I hope he gives them a lot more than I'm expecting. I don't want to be negative, but if you want to live by a cardinal rule, it's probably like a receiver on the wrong side of 30 coming off that devastating injury. It was like we made the Robert Woods mistake and we made the Julio Jones mistake. And it's like, I don't know that I'm going to put myself in a position to expect a ton from Calvin Ridley. If I'm wrong, I will be so happy and so grateful that that is the case. But I think we got to prepare ourselves that, you know, history tells you a 30-something old receiver coming off that injury usually has a tough time, you know, recapturing his form. And if that is the case, then I'm with you. I think both Shimure Dike and Elik Ayomad are like, you caught yourself at the end there. They played big roles last year. I know what you meant to say, and I think every Titans fan knows. It's like, what about the maturation they could show here as sophomores? How much better can they get? I thought Dike, remember, he didn't really play receiver until like week 6 or 7. They had Tyler Lockett. They were using Dike almost exclusively on special teams. I thought he showed a lot of growth as a receiver as the year progressed forward, his rookie season. And because he's got a bit more athletic upside than Ayomad has, you know, he's twitchy, he's explosive. I'm really excited to see what type of steps he takes forward as a receiver in year two. And in all honesty, I'm getting myself in a headspace where I'm saying the same about Ayomad. I think we were a little low on him when we talked about him earlier in the offseason. He's got a different skill set than DK, but one that's still useful. He's bigger than DK, and he's more physical. Like, as much as I like DK, I do think as a rookie, he kind of struggled with press coverage and when physicality would come into play with corners. Ayomad is built differently, where, you know, his size and stature is sort of built to survive that and navigate that a little bit more. So I'm curious and excited to see what Ayomad, remember, they praised him a lot this offseason, the coaching staff did, how he showed up from a body composition and just physical standpoint, you know, his strength. So I think both of these guys have a huge opportunity to supplant Calvin Ridley as the receiver 3.
I do too. I do question Ayomad's ability to win those physical battles. Like, I get it from a stature size standpoint. He should be well positioned to be more physical than most of his opponents, but he didn't show that ability to win through contact and be super physical last year. Now, I agree that he has seemingly improved his body muscle composition. Right. He has spoken about how it is a priority for him, a focus of his, to be better in those physical type of environments, contested catch situations, fighting through, hand fighting in your route stem and press coverage and all those things. So you hope that he does take a step there. All these guys need to take a step. I mean, both of these guys need to take a step from where they were last year. They were a bit overmatched as rookie fourth rounders running the majority of the routes for the Titans receiving core. But this is the perfect spot for them to be now. They're not going to be relied upon to carry the load of the passing game. They can step in and contribute when they get their opportunities, take advantage of those opportunities. I think we're going to see a lot of design touches for Shimure Dike. I think, you know, what he showed as a punt and kick returner is a guy that if he gets in space, he can read the field and he can make explosive plays happen with the ball in his hands. I think Brian Daboll's going to want to take advantage of that. He's pretty similar to Gabe Davis, who was Brian Daboll's deep threat across from Stephon Diggs. Yeah. Davis was 6'3", which is a pretty big guy, but just like a blazing speed, get down the field. DK's not quite that big, between 6 foot and 6'1". But also a guy that can get down the field and maybe be an explosive, even if he's just a decoy taking the top off the defense, pushing the safeties back. You know, if there's a bust in coverage, suddenly he's wide open down the field. I think he's going to be used in that role. And I think Elik Ayomad is going to be on the field more than we think, because I think what he does better than any other receiver in this room, and maybe Carnell Tate will come in and be different, but he's the best blocker of the on the receiving corps. Yeah. He can go out there and punish smaller defensive backs. If they need somebody in 12 personnel, they need a big body receiver. Or if they're in 11 personnel, they need somebody to hit the linebackers and the safeties in the middle of the field. Then put Elk Eimanner in the slot and let him block on those kinds of plays. He's going to have a role.
And that's certainly not like Ridley, Robinson, DK. Those guys are not blockers at all. So even in, you know, when you got even, you know, like 12 personnel, I think there are plays out there where it's Tate and Eimanner because they're your two best blockers. But they're also, I mean, obviously number four overall receiver. They're also good, so good that you're not tipping your hand, right? You could pass the ball out of 12P with Tate and Eimanner. So lots of possibilities. This wide receiver three battle, in all honesty, is going to be fascinating because it may be unpredictable. You could convince me any of those guys are going to end up being the number three receiver. And speaking of roster battles, we're going to talk about that, what we presume to be that sixth and final spot. They could keep seven, by the way, but I don't think they'll keep five. So we're going to presume that that sixth one might be the last spot. We're both still in agreement as the offseason has progressed forward that Bryce Oliver's the favorite. You know, he's been here for a few years. Of course, this is a new coaching staff, so maybe that doesn't matter a ton. But his upside on special teams, I think when he's healthy, he's their best special teams player. Of course, that's not taking the return ability into account. I'm talking about, you know, as a gunner. So I think that gives him the upper hand. And he has showed some upside as a receiver, you know, as a preseason stud, as a training camp stud. So that helps. We do think there are a couple of those other guys in the mix. Of course, you know, Xavier Restrepo has had a really good summer. It'll be worth seeing how he comes back to camp. KJ Osborne, the veteran dart throw in free agency, made a lot of plays in OTAs, and we think that's going to carry over to camp in the preseason. And then there's like this UDFA who I think deserves more attention is Hank Beattie. You know, everyone was talking about Tyron Montgomery because he was the D3 Senior Bowl story, but it feels like Hank Beattie has been the better UDFA receiver of the two. And, you know, he's probably the biggest long shot of all the names we just threw out there. I'm going with Oliver, but, you know, Osborne and Restrepo, you know, might be right there, especially if they can prove to help offset some of the special team stuff you'd be losing if you cut Oliver.
I think Oliver is still the most likely to make it as the sixth guy because of that special teams ability, like you said. And I think Osborne and Restrepo are perfect practice squad guys. Osborne as a veteran, now that there's no, like for a few years now, there's been no like restrictions on what types of veteran status allows you to be on a practice squad or not on a practice squad. We talked about Michael Carter when we did the running back preview as like the perfect guy to keep on the practice squad to elevate in case of injury. And that's the role he held for the Cardinals last year. Osborne could and should be that guy for the Titans this year. Somebody you expect to be just like a veteran in terms of knowing every receiver's role in every play on the offensive playbook. He can step in a pinch if you need to elevate somebody. Restrepo as more of like a development and also kind of a backup slot that you can keep around on the practice squad. Hank Beattie could also make a case for himself. As you said, he's been an impressive UDFA. I'm not ruling out Tyron Montgomery once the pads come on. I am going to go ahead and just rule out Courtney Jackson, Lance McCutcheon, and even the unkillable Mason Kinsey. Those are the other guys we haven't mentioned yet in this room. I'm going to rule those guys out. I think those guys are camp bodies. We might see a lot of them in the third preseason game, but we're probably not going to like hear much about them working with Cam Ward throughout this training camp. So I think that's pretty much what it's going to boil down to is it's Bryce Oliver versus KJ Osborne versus Xavier Restrepo versus the extreme dark horse of Hank Beattie if they want like a different body type. Because that's the thing about Osborne and Restrepo. I mean, I don't know. Osborne's not a pure slot, but I feel like he's more of a slot than he is a boundary guy. Restrepo is a slot only pretty much option. Right. Bryce Oliver can play on the outside and play the X. Maybe that sort of the versatility gives him an even bigger leg up than just the special teams. But that's going to be a really interesting battle to track. As Robert Saleh said, it's going to be a fight for those last few receiver spots.
I think the Titans have finally got this receiver room to a place where they don't even need Mason Kinsey on the practice squad. I hope, realistically, I think it's like three receivers on the practice squad, and I'd probably go like Restrepo, Osborne, and one of the UDFAs. But I'll be honest with you, like, it wouldn't shock me, because Osborne's been around for a while too, if they choose like Kinsey over Osborne on the practice squad and kind of surprise us because they love Kinsey's ability on special teams if he's got to be a call up or whatever. But yeah, that's going to do it for today's episode, the training camp preview for the wide receiver position. Drop your comments below. First segment, who will lead the Titans in every major receiving category? We want you to answer that question. Will it be Carnell Tate? Will it be Wandale Robinson? Three questions for you. Who will be the wide receiver three? Will it be Ridley, Io Manor, or DK? And finally, who will be the sixth and presumed final receiver on this 53-man roster? I want to hear from the Audible Army. Answer all of those three questions in the comments below. We will go in there and respond to your comments. As we always do, we respond to every single comment on every single podcast. I don't think there's many podcasters that do that out there. Until tomorrow, we're back with another Titans training camp preview episode. Y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.